You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
With the new Dexcom G7, you can achieve better diabetes results without painful finger sticks. It sends your glucose numbers to your compatible phone or watch, so you can always see where you are and where you're heading. See how food and exercise affects your glucose, making it easier to spend more time in range and lower your A1C. Take control of your diabetes with the number one recommended CGM brand. It's easy to get started today at Dexcom.com. That's Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom. Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit Spectrum.com/big deal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
The Around the NFL Podcast.
This whole arrangement is absurd.
From the Chris Wessling Podcast Studio, it's Around the NFL. I'm Dan Hansis. There are heroes in this room with me. Greg Rosenthal, Mark Sessler. Now that I've set the table, we will talk about professional football for the next hour or so.
Well, you know, it's like we settle into these routines throughout the week. Every Tuesday is kind of the same Tuesday. And I think the way you just started this podcast is a fresh approach. Mm. It's going to breathe new life into this podcast in particular.
Mm-hmm.
Out of that routine.
Mm-hmm. That would have been valuable had any of that came out of your mouth been sincere on any level, Greg.
But it's true. That was a different – it woke me up.
I'll decide what
I was, sending an email about, you know, some holiday party drama. And Dan, I was like, ooh, where's Dan going with this? Mm-hmm. I got to pay attention. I like
that's good. Do you think
take me out of the routine.
Do you think this is still a good podcast? Like, where do you guys come down on it? Actually, you guys are probably too close.
B minus.
Hit or miss. By the dictionary definition.
A good podcast?
I think it is one of the best. And actually, that's funny you asked. This actually wasn't a setup. I got a message this morning from some shadowy league figures. And apparently, Around the NFL made PodTrac's top 20 industry agnostic podcast rankings for the month of November.
What religion are you? Oh, I'm industry agnostic.
Well, what is that? Like the PFF of podcasts?
Yeah, it's no top podcasts. And we, The Daily, The New York Times is number one. NPR is two.
Yeah, we bought them out.
We are number 16 out
That's
of 20.
Good.
That is huge.
And that came from a shadowy league figure. Because I've always been under the impression that none of the shadowy league figures are aware that this is a podcast, that this exists.
Well, now they've got the iHeart deal.
Right.
There's some.
Well, we don't got the high art.
Need some ad money flowing in. And then they're like, huh, these boys are playing with the big hitters.
Yeah
producers. See, go ahead, Mark.
Well, no, would you have told us that had Dan not prompted you?
Actually, I was going to tell you after the show.
I'm just, it seems like important information to pass.
I've often, you know, back in the day, this bothered, I remember Wes at the time, I think you guys too. I was saying, like, we're the Big Bang Theory of podcasts. Not critically popular, but just huge numbers. You know,
not
we're
making
just like,
their money.
We're coasting along,
that's right.
and we're doing great.
We're in season 9. The only thing is, we're not making $6 million an episode like all those actors. But, I was going to say enough of the navel gazing, but one thing I did want to talk about is Spotify releases its, you know, all the breakdown of your listening habits. And as happens every year,
The Wrapped.
Much welcomed all the fans that step up and send screen grabs that the top podcast was the Around the NFL podcast. And so I want to give it a shout out to like guys like, and gals, but this is a guy, Declan Mulvihill, who listened to 100 episodes for a total of 6,567 minutes. And then, like, okay, that's good. Good job, Deck, in a big spot. But then there's Jim Lorigan, who listened to 107 episodes for a total of 7,061 minutes, and that's pretty crazy, but it's not as good as Nick Lanza, who I don't know if anybody beats Nick this year.
Try to top Nick, please, if you're out there.
According to this screen grab, Nick listened to 505 episodes for a total of 29,038 minutes. Nick, probably single. Nick, definitely loyal, and it is a trend, or it is something that people do connected to our show, Mark, which is they re-listen to past seasons just to kind of follow the sport through the years. Of course, it also gets you back to Chris Wessling, and that's a great element of this. People will listen from 2013 onward and catch up to the show, and that's obviously something Nick did.
There are tons of deep gems in the past. I find it interesting because I can't remember what we talked about on Sunday night at this point with the way this thing works. If any of them are attached to significant others or burgeoning significant others, they'll be probably very annoyed with the individuals you just mentioned. There's a lot of time going in other directions, but I find them to be delightful.
No, it's amazing.
And their habits to be delightful.
It's amazing, especially this year. I mean, we'll never have a year like this year that everyone stuck with us. I know it was like a lot of people found it hard to stick with us after Chris died, and I totally understand that. It was hard to keep going. Doing the numbers, though, of what Nick did.
Sure.
That equals 20 days.
20 days.
Wow.
20 days of his year, and that's not counting sleep. So if you throw in 8 hours of sleep here, that's basically he spent a month of his year listening to our podcast.
Wow. To answer your question.
I adore
him. I know.
Yeah, I mean, if anyone can top that, send it to us. And if you can't, I think Nick deserves something. Nick, I'm sorry if someone tops you, you
Nick,
don't get anything.
Reach out to Ricky Hollywood on Twitter. Ricky, yep. I'm being serious. On DM and however you want to connect. And we got to send something.
Yeah, for sure.
Listener
definitely.
Of the year.
And if you're Declan, sorry, you got mentioned, but you're not getting a gift or anything special.
Well, I was just
going
to, to circle back, you asked if this is a good show.
Ah, good show.
A good show. Ah, good show.
Ah.
And Jet was brought up something that you guys mentioned on like the last, Tuesday show, who's driving to take finals at USC and is in all her stress, is actually listening. I didn't even know she listened to ATN, and she likes to be close to you guys, and she prefers the Tuesday shows. It's just a little bit less.
A little looser.
Yeah.
A little less.
But I didn't even know that. I didn't even know that.
She's full of surprises.
I love that Jet.
Yeah.
I love that Jet.
Keeper. A keeper.
She's a real keeper.
Yeah.
Anyway, thank you to everybody.
Don't f up, Ricky.
Yeah. I would say that would be Regret Boulevard.
Yeah, there's no coming back from that.
You gotta bring that plane in for a landing.
Hey,
Greg continues just to type is it a novella you're working on over here while we're staging an actual show? Greg totally unplugged, staring at his
keyboard.
Wait, Greg's not involved in my life. What?
All right, good stuff. Let's get into the show. We're going to preview Thursday Night Football, Week 14, right around the corner, and it starts with a real great game. Borderline, not quite, but kind of in that realm, loser goes home match between the Steelers and Vikings at US Bank Stadium. We will preview that game. Also, an old friend that we haven't had on the show in a while. We've tried, but she's tough to book, but we got her this time. Jane Slater, Cowboys Corner with Jane Slater. Check in on America's team, where they're at as the season enters the home stretch. But before any of that, we got to close the door on week 13. And to do that, we talk Bills Patriots.
Toss comes to the near side for Harris. He runs through a big hole, and he's gone to the 50. A burst to the 40. Alone to the 20. Damien Harris to the house. Touchdown, Patriots.
Bob Sochi with the call. WEEI. Zolak mumbling in the background somewhere. Damien Harris takes it all the way. It was the biggest play of the biggest win of the year for the New England Patriots, who go up to Orchard Park and take out the Buffalo Bills 14-10 in one of those really weird, fun primetime games. The weather, absolutely a factor in this game. Swirling winds, cold as hell. And it was the New England Patriots that came out on top. Mark Sessler, I know you love this. Mac Jones finished the day with 3 pass attempts. They ran the ball 46 times, the Patriots, and they get it done.
I adored it on deep levels. I don't think this happens without a coach like Bill Belichick, who is just leaning on decades and decades and decades of experience and total buy-in during the week. While we're all talking about, like, will Mac Jones shine in the moment against this Bills defense? Will he make the throws we're expecting him to make? Yeah, he'll make three of them. And meanwhile, we're going to bludgeon a defense that's been overpraised, that was lashed by the Colts a couple weeks ago on the ground. They weren't afraid of the Buffalo Bills defense. The New England Patriots were not afraid of the Buffalo Bills defense. They did not waver from their plan for 1 second. They weren't marvelous on offense themselves. They did just enough. But I thought that the way they executed, the way that every player basically just said, we're going to go in here and psychologically change the AFC East from the ground up. I mean, you had Sean McDermott coming out of this as testy as we've ever seen.
Let's listen to Sean McDermott.
This right here.
Because obviously the narrative that formed during the game was Belichick has really cooked a special one up here. And I think certain elements of the Bills that rubbed them the wrong way. Let's listen to Sean McDermott.
For a few shots on the broadcast of you very visibly frustrated and animated, how would you just explain the psychological component of coaching against Bill Belichick, especially when he's doing something like that, just running the ball kind?
Yeah, it's not... Let's not give more credit than we need to give credit to Bill Belichick in this one. It was, whether it's Bill or anybody else, they beat us, right? But you sit here and you tell me when they start with the average starting, when we start with the average starting field position at the 40-yard line and he starts with the 23-yard line, and I'm rounding up in both cases, and we were 1-for-4 in the red zone and they're 0-for-1 in the red zone, you give me that ahead of time, I'm saying I like my chances. I like my chances.
I'll ask this to you. I mean, I get what he's saying to some degree, but aren't they also telling on themselves a little bit? They did have better field position. They did get into the red zone. They failed where the Patriots succeeded. I mean, this, to me, was about as big a loss as the Bills could have dealt with this season so far.
I mean, those comments to me were so telling because they made no sense. I didn't know what he was saying. What was he saying? That we were put in great, you know, situations all night and we kept blowing it. He seemed to be pointing his finger at Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator, with those comments and throughout that press conference talking about that they're not a physical football team. Sean McDermott hates this. When he came to Buffalo, the last thing he wanted was to be the team that can't run it in a game like this. And so I really take that from this game, that going into this Bucs game that the Bills are going to have, like, McDermott is really stressing how much he wants to run the ball more, be a physical team. He hates that it's getting pointed at his defense when they only gave up 241 yards. But to me, like, that is a legitimate takeaway. I watched most of this game thinking, like, this is fun, but it kind of means nothing. It's not really football. Like, it is and it isn't. It's like they had to take advantage of the situation that was there, but it's not a situation we almost ever see. I mean, there's a reason why Bill Belichick has never done this before. He's never had conditions to face like this before. And so it didn't tell me that much about, like, can the Bills win in good weather, in a normal weather situation in the postseason? But the Patriots have the type of team that are built for almost anything. And they did six offensive linemen all game, and they had the fullback all game, and they made the Bills put three linebackers on the field all game, and it kind of worked. And if the Bills' offense was any good, then they would have thrown more. I think that's what people lost in it, was that if Belichick was ever worried about the Bills scoring, they would have started throwing, which is why they threw a little bit at the end of the game.
So let me attempt to, in my opinion, translate what Sean McDermott said. I think it rubbed him the wrong way, and it rubbed a lot of the players in the Bills the wrong way after the game. There was an interview between Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer where a Patriots beat reporter asked them if they were embarrassed to lose a game in which the other team only threw it three times. And they're like, wait, what? We lost 14-10. I think what Sean McDermott was saying basically was, dude, look at the game. I know you're framing this as I had circles coached around me by the legend Bill Belichick, but we won the field position battle. We were knocking on the door repeatedly in the red zone with a chance to win the game, and we lost, and that's why I agree with you. I think he's maybe Brian Daboll. I think Josh Allen, too. Josh Allen missing throws that would have changed the trajectory of their season down in the red zone, making bad decisions, taking bad sacks, things that weren't happening in 2020. I think his frustration was, he sees the way the game was being presented to the public as Belichick beats McDermott and outthinks everyone, where really his frustration was we didn't execute, we were in position to win, and we failed. And my thought on the Patriots, because they deserve a ton of credit for winning this game, is Tom Brady's gone, and they still find ways to win games like this because they continue to be a really well-coached, well-prepared, innovative thinking organization. And I do say I am very happy that Tom Brady's not there, because that's why they won. They went to the Super Bowl 9 times and won 6 or 7 of them, whatever it was, because you took this Brady player who was unbelievable and this coaching staff, which was unbelievable, you put them together, and that was once in 100 years.
I think I heard you say it doesn't mean anything, or you don't take anything away about the Bills.
I'm not saying that. Like,
I didn't disagree more.
If the Patriots had won or lost, like, it was a fun game, but I think going into it and watching it, I think it's dangerous to take huge sweeping conclusions. First of all, it's a close game. You know, it could have gone either way. But my thing is, like, there were how many games? 200 games played this year. None of them were in conditions like this. This is football because you have to adapt, but it also is not something that I think is that meaningful for when they play again in a couple weeks necessarily, or like when the Bills are in the playoffs. It was a total fluky fun, like, we got to figure this out. Like, intellectually, I was very entertained, but it's also kind of like not football if you can't do a forward pass in the year 2021.
I don't know. I guess I just look at it differently, that there's one football team I know of that would have ever come up with this concept in this
right,
game.
And that's what
that means something to me, because the next time they get together and everyone's going to say, throw out that game because of the weather or whatever, well, it's like you're still going to be dealing with the fact that Sean McDermott can be saying a couple things in that press conference, but one of them is that the Belichick Patriots dark cloud that they thought that they had swept away is back. And I think it is extremely frustrated to the Bills, who are, what, 1-4 in their last bunch of games. I mean, they are going in the wrong direction, and the Patriots are peaking. No one saw this coming 2 months ago.
Right. They made the mistake. Like, expectations are so hard in the NFL. I think the Browns are finding that. The Bills are finding that. That's why I give the Packers under Matt LaFleur a lot of credit. The hardest thing to do is be very good year after year, and you can almost see them feeling that heat. But I love that the Monday Night Football crew recounted a conversation they had with Belichick about, like, the difference between this Patriots team and last year, and it was like, better players. It's like, that is the main difference. Like, Damian Harris pops that so that they can play this style of game where they're playing with a lead and don't have to be risky. They've got Judon and Barmore in terms of the pass rush. They pressured Josh Allen 32% of the time. He didn't complete a pass when he was pressured in this game. I thought Allen played really well. Like, he showed – I disagreed with you a little bit. I think he showed the difference of, like, what the strongest arm in the league could do. If Diggs catches that touchdown pass, or Dawson Knox doesn't play a terrible game, they don't fumble in the plus territory. Allen did about as well as I think a quarterback could have done in that scenario.
You thought he handled the end of that game well in those two red zone drives? That's money time. And he did not make the plays. Calling timeouts, taking sacks, missing receivers.
But it's also that the timeouts were on McDermott, and that's where McDermott has to own up to. I blew two timeouts, one with an emotional challenge, which was a waste, and another when I didn't get the play in time to Josh Allen, or not having my quarterback prepared with a play to call. Not only that, I love that the Mannings pointed out when the Patriots had a third and long setting up their last field goal, the whole point of the play was to put their kicker on the correct hash. That was not what the Bills did on their last third and long at all, and the wind ended up hooking it.
But all these things are the difference between the Patriots coaching staff and, sorry, every other coaching staff.
Yeah.
Well, no one's really
right. I'm not arguing that.
Well, no, but when this whole idea of, like, oh, you know, let's not put it on Bill Belichick. Well, I do put it on Bill Belichick. I think if they gone and faced the Colts or a different team that last night, it's another team that would try to do the same thing they always do. The Bills essentially try to just be who they are. The Patriots, like, we're going to be something totally different.
And yet, if the Bills execute better in the red zone, they win the game probably.
Because I think the margin for error created a very small margin.
There's only one play that I can think of where that makes sense to me, and that was Zach Moss. On the first red zone drive, when they're inside the 10, he's got the entire outside. And they haven't been playing Zach Moss because of mistakes like this all year. Like, there was a touchdown there to be run. Like, if Ramondre Stevenson got that ball, he's going around the edge and he's scoring a touchdown. And Moss just runs straight into the line and misses it. But I can't think of another play where it's just like the Patriots players beat them, including the last play where Belichick goes incredibly aggressive and going cover zero in that situation. And Miles Bryant makes a really great read to break up that pass.
Maybe not a good throw either.
No, the throw probably wasn't getting there anyways. But I was like, wow, that was a
their offensive line beat Buffalo's line all night long. If you're looking for
places
for someone.
Yeah.
I mean, they just went in and they dropped a bomb on them.
And I'll say this. We got a rematch, and I think maybe this speaks to a little bit what you were saying, Greg. They have a rematch coming up in 2 weeks. And I do look forward to, as fun as that was in the crazy conditions in a primetime game and everybody's enjoying it together on social media and, you know, the Mannings are digging on it. Like, I would like to see it. I want to see Mac Jones involved in the game. I want to see the Bills able to run their offense. I want to see these two teams kind of be able to play a normal football game. And that's why it's good they have a second matchup. This division race is not over. I know it feels over now, but I don't think it is. But at the same time, the Bills, hey, gut check time, because before they get the Pats, they get the Bucks.
That is rough.
And they are 7-5 right now. So all of a sudden, it is really, this is crucible time for the Bills. We'll see
how they
react.
I have two truths and a lie coming out of this game.
Okay.
You don't have to even answer. I just want you to think about it. In fact, don't answer.
Do we have to agree or disagree?
You don't have
to. Or are they truths?
These are three items.
Are they opinions or truths?
Three items.
Okay.
Two of them I consider to be truths, one not a truth. You don't even have to respond. Item number one, the Bills are doomed.
Okay.
Just sit on it. Item number two,
right?
Everyone is doomed.
Okay.
Item number three, I have a 25-year-old daughter. One of those is not accurate. The other two are deadly accurate.
I know you have a 25-year-old daughter.
Right. So
you don't know that.
That's true. I think everyone is doomed is the lie, because everyone includes the entire world. I'm not putting us in there.
Like, no, yes, no, that's human. That's,
we'll all
that's
die eventually, but that doesn't mean doomed. I think the fact that you can have a lot of joy and happiness on the way there, I don't consider everyone doomed.
So we've agreed the Bills are doomed. Ricky, do you agree with that, if you're listening?
Of course I'm listening.
Said the Bills are doomed? Shoot.
I don't know. The Bills dropped down to seventh seed. Like, they have a lot of ground to make
up. If there's one thing I know, is to be sure about anything in the AFC. That's a good place.
I tried it last week, and it went really well. So here we are again.
All right, so that's Monday Night Football.
That was fun.
It was fun. That was cool. I do love weird weather. When the flag on top of the upright disappeared, it was like, okay, it's about to get nuts. It took crazy.
Yeah, it like added juice and took juice out at the same time.
That's why it's good that we're going to get another matchup, and hopefully the New England weather cooperates, but who knows. All right, let's take a break, and then Jane Slater on the Cowboys.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day. And smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by 3-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game, King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think you could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Yeah, because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of
that. Like that, see that?
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. And then he's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college? Because it ain't it.
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
All right, time for a guest. And it's a good one. It's our friend. We've been working with her for a long time now, and now she's back on the podcast. Jane Slater, who's all over the Cowboys Corner, I call it, with Jane Slater. Welcome back to the Around the NFL podcast, Jane.
I long for our day sitting poolside and talking football, and I've got a little bit of FOMO knowing that you guys are going to be at the Christmas party and I can't. So if you guys could just FaceTime me in, that'd be awesome.
All right, we could bring you in on that. We absolutely can. So, Jane, we're trying to make sense of the Cowboys right now. And I know they get the job done on Thursday night in New Orleans, and that's a Saints team that's got all sorts of problems. Their defense got it done in the fourth quarter there. So you snapped the losing streak. But do you get the sense right now that the Cowboys are on a good trajectory, or is this still a searching team that's in a little bit of trouble as we hit the home stretch?
You know, I do a podcast with a bunch of the beat writers up at the Star once a week, and I found myself arguing with Steve Dennis, the moderator, because this topic came up, and I was defending the Cowboys based on their body of work during that 6-1 stretch. They beat the Chargers on the road. Of course, they almost had the win against Tampa Bay and Tom Brady. And I thought that there was some convincing signs that this team was equipped for a postseason run. And then they sort of, after Dak got injured, and then they lost to Amari Cooper for two games. And then to see them play in that Saints game that you just referenced, the Saints didn't have their two starting defensive ends, their two starting tackles. They didn't have Alvin Kamara, and they had Taysom Hill, who's been dealing with plantar fasciitis and hadn't played four quarters yet. And they kept the door open for the Saints heading into the second half. Now, they were able to get Tony Pollard going, that 58-yard touchdown. And, of course, there was that one ref call that the NFL admitted they sort of messed up. And if you talk to the Saints, that took the steam out of what they were doing. But I look at that Raiders overtime loss, the Broncos loss. They're a confusing team. But I got to tell you guys, if you look at the Rams and the way they've been playing, or you look at the Tampa Bay Bucks, I don't know what to make of this team or the NFC right now. So the Cowboys are getting a lot of pieces back on the defensive side of the ball. And I really appreciated Dan Quinn's answer, saying that if you had told me we'd be sitting here at 8-4 in December without DeMarcus Lawrence, not having Randy Gregory for a couple of games, he would have said, oh, wow. And essentially now this is cool. These guys have been battle tested. They're getting reinforcements back. And then they're playing a really weak NFC East here, three of their four games this month. So there's an opportunity there. But I would also submit, look at the way Washington's been playing. They're only two games back. The defense beat Tampa Bay Bucks, held them 273 yards, picked them off twice. Then you see what they did against the Raiders. You saw what they did against Seattle. You saw what they did against the Panthers. This is going to be an interesting month for the NFC East. And I got to tell you, I don't know what to make of this Cowboys team right now. They've got the talent. They've got the pieces. But for whatever reason, just the rhythm's been off. And if you guys, I'd be curious your thoughts, because you're not as myopic as I am. What did you think of this offense and the way it played against the Saints?
Well, I think, you know, you're pointing out, and everyone following the Cowboys is sort of wondering what's happened to them since Dak came back. But there's reasons for it. And all these offenses around the league are going through ebb and flow and some slumps. I mean, the defense, if anything, has been a huge bright point coming off of last year. And Dan Quinn has made that a reliable part of the team. I would ask it this way, like Kellen Moore's offense in general, and you can throw out last year if you want, but they get 3 years in a row off to very hot starts, and 3 years in a row they tend to flatline, but they lose some of their star power that makes you think they're that explosive. Is there anything about the Kellen Moore offense that is contributing to what we're seeing?
I'd love to have our research department look into this, and I might, because it might be hard to quantify and qualify, but I think about the offenses and how hot they were. But when they started to lose steam was when we started having problems with the offensive line. Think about Travis Frederick when he had Guillain-Barré syndrome. When I think about Zach Martin when he wasn't there with COVID. When I think about Lyle Collins, who had the suspension. when I think about Tyron Smith, who's had injuries pop up, everyone wants to point to that 2016 offense that was predicated around the run. Well, it was easy to run the ball when you had the Great Wall of Dallas. They haven't really had that. And they've also been playing with that offensive line a lot, which we joke about around here, because when we brought up the notion, was it last year or this year? I can't remember. It's all blending together. The notion of the best starting five. And it was Mike McCarthy who said, we can't play fantasy football. Consistency is key. They haven't had a lot of consistency on that offensive line this year. And in fact, they've been tinkering with things not only during series or in game, but throughout the year. And so I think they're trying to figure out what to do with that left side and Connor Williams. I'm just not so sure that some of these games are the place to do it.
It's like, I always have a theory with the Cowboys that they stink in the years that they're coming off good years. Because it's like they're just such, first of all, their ownership like tells them how great they are all offseason. They're like, they're celebrities, I think, in a way in Dallas that almost no NFL team is in their hometown. And they just come out the next year and they're like always disappointed. I almost wonder if that like happened halfway through this season, because Jerry Jones started talking about like they're, this is the greatest team ever. And I have this vision of the Cowboys, who to me on paper are actually the best team in the NFC. And I still, and they're actually healthier now than almost any of the other NFC teams. And they're going to have everything in place for the next five games. It's in front of them. But the Cowboys team that's in my mind is the one that destroyed the Eagles and the Panthers. And that was like 2 months ago now. Like, they got to start showing up. Do you think they almost started buying their own Jerry Jones hype
Not
too
the
early
Cowboys.
In this season?
What's the analogy in dating that every time a man says he's sorry, you start to love him less? I feel like that's the Cowboys like fan base. It's like every year they're like, we're gonna come back next year. And it's like, I've noticed, I mean, my father is literally, he carries the flag for this. He's the type of guy that literally starts the first quarter with that Cowboy flag playing, you know, flying in the front yard, and then he takes it down, not dissimilar to what happens with the Texas Longhorns.
Roller coaster.
But
that's hilarious.
I think the reason why people were so high on the hog this year was because of how bad this team was last year. I kept saying if they got a middle of the pack defense, this team could be special given what they had on offense. I mean, they have an embarrassment of riches when you look at their three wide receivers, not to mention you've had guys like Cedric Wilson, Maurice Kennedy, who have sort of come out of nowhere that are receiving threats. You've got Tony Pollard that can give you the burst for a 50-yard touchdown. You haven't gotten much play out of your tight ends. That's fair. But when you look around the league, what other teams have that many weapons in the NFC? I mean, there's not a lot.
They're all back. The O-line's back. It's healthy. Like, the weapons are back.
Yeah.
They're healthy. And now the defense is back. It's healthy. So show it to me. It's Washington twice. It's the Giants. It's the Cardinals. It's at Philadelphia. It's a very interesting, division-heavy schedule here. But to me, it's still all in front of them to go get that 2 or 3 seed. And I do believe that team can return.
2 or 3
seed. I think
seeds.
It will.
I keep thinking if they had 10 other Dak Prescotts on that offensive side of the ball, this team could really be special. And I'm not taking away anything from like the Zach Martins of the world or, the Tyron Smiths or even Ezekiel Elliott, who's been battling through the right knee, which you could argue is that the best thing that they should be doing right now is keeping. No. I would have sat Zeke against the Saints personally, kept him fresh for some of these divisional games, but that's above my pay grade. I'm just here to report. They just, for whatever reason, can't seem to put it all together. Although I would submit, I don't think any of us expected them to be what, the 4 seed right now in the NFC, given what we saw last year. So I don't know. Just keep the expectations low and you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Yeah, I think you look at the schedule here, Jane, and it does look it. I think because of the slump here and because of Green Bay, Arizona, and Tampa, to me, being the clear class of the NFL, not just the NFC, I think right now it's like, all right, let's go 10-7. Let's win our division. Let's get a home game in the playoffs and hopefully things start clicking again. Do you think, and I know you said like 11 Dak's in their set, so you don't put anything in like the splits of the calf injury. He comes back and I know he made some real money throws, some brilliant throws against the Saints as well, but statistically, and when you look at the offense as a whole, they haven't been the same since his return. Do you think he's been hindered at all physically since his return, or is that a thing of the past?
I mean, to your point, you could say that, but then you see some of the throws that he makes and some of the throws that he makes in the fourth quarter, and you're like, this is not a guy that's feeling limited. I think if anything, not having Michael Gallup for what was it, 5-6 weeks, not having Amari Cooper for the two, they've talked about this even coming into the seasons, how, you know, it takes practice to get the timing right with some of your wide receivers. And I think it could be a combination of that. And then also a combination of whether he'll admit it or not. You talk to any extreme athletes who play in a fairly dangerous game. Once fear enters your mind or there's that hesitation, you're not playing as loose or as free as you used to. And when you're coming off two pretty significant injuries, and again, I don't think he'll ever admit this, and maybe it's not even conscious, but I just don't think that you're playing as wild or loose out there as perhaps we've seen him in years past. And that's smart, by the way. Like, that's what the franchise wants you to do. But I do think it's a combination of the O-line, not having the wide receivers there this year, having Ezekiel Elliott, who's been injured. I think all of those things, everyone wants a clear-cut answer, but I think it's a combination of a few of those things. But I do think that this team, if they can just get in a rhythm here again, they are, to your point, I think one of the most talented rosters in the NFL. Now, can they be coached as well as some of these other teams and put it all together in order to make a run?
I have a very quick question for you. You're in Dallas. You're a Dallasite, if that's the term.
She's a Dallas debutante.
Dallas debutante. Last time, you can give me a ballpark date on this. Last time you were at the Grassy Knoll, maybe for drinks, a picnic on the Grassy Knoll. When's the last time you were there?
Okay, so this is why I love coming on this show, Mark, because you speak to my soul and conspiracy theories and all sorts. Fun fact, I live a block and a half away from the Grassy Knoll.
From Dealey Plaza.
Swear to God.
Suspicious.
Yes. Exactly. And my sister and I had just been to Chicago to visit my brother, and she dropped me off from the airport, and she was like, where was Kennedy shot? And I'm like, you're kidding me, right? Like, we've lived in this city our whole life. And so I said, literally go a block and a half over, and there's a big X in the middle of the street. And when I worked local news here, there was a big debate. They removed the X. The X is actually where Kennedy was shot, to signify where he actually was harmed. I don't want to get too graphic, even though I know you're really into that stuff, Mark.
Sicko.
Went under the bridge. But people stand in the middle of that street. X marks the spot for a photograph. It's right. So morbid.
A little weird.
It's like when Darren Ravel sent that video of his brains getting blown out, and everyone was upset on Twitter. That's how their morning started.
But I got to tell you, I was disappointed that QAnon had this whole theory that JFK Jr. was making his triumphant return to help the Republican Party, which was fascinating to me. Since
that
he
seemed
was
totally legitimate to the three of us, to be honest.
But JFK Jr. is one of the main reasons I went to journalism school. In fact, I have a bunch of rare George magazines sitting here in my living room. I love him. And I almost put on my Sunday best and went down there just hoping that he'd come back for me.
Well, maybe, you know, I know it hasn't happened yet, but we don't have proof that it won't happen. Jane, thank you for joining us. And men out there, single men out there, heed what Jane says. Never apologize for anything because it actually makes you more unattractive to the woman
it's
you
great
desire.
Great advice. That's like the only thing I remember. I was just like burned into my head.
Jane. Good
thanks,
talking.
Jane.
All the wives are going to be giving me a call here. My God.
All right. There she goes. Jane Slater. And by the way, blew his brains out? Do you need to be so graphic?
Well, yeah, Greg,
about
that
the
was a
assassination.
You took it to a place that was unnecessary.
Well, I was trying to just put people in the minds of what that horrible morning on Twitter was like. It was something. Is
Darren Ravel still around? I haven't seen
it. It happened recently. People talked about the anniversary of him doing this. And I think it was because I was, too, impacted and saw this video that he put out there, which I had never seen before. And it was a lot at 7:30.
Oh, the Zapruder film yes. Essentially. Yeah. You'd never witnessed that. Well, if you're getting cold called with that on Twitter, that would be rough.
I had seen the Natalie Portman movie, which does quite a graphic recreation of it.
Well, it was a terrifying moment in the history of the country.
Right, but it's kind of like these videos of horrible things happening on Twitter. Like, you don't need to see them. Just, you know, you don't need to watch it.
You don't need to watch it. Well.
You know what happens.
Dan, get us out of that.
I will say, if you are ever in Dallas, the book depository where Lee Harvey Oswald acted alone, by the way, Mark.
Please.
They have turned that upper level into a museum.
It's incredible. I went there with Gonzo, actually.
It's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's not a morbid thing. It's a piece of American history. And, you know, it's worth checking out, spending a couple hours of your day. All right.
Where are we?
Exactly. All right, let's move on. Let's hit break and then Thursday Night Football.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower, 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring Body Wash and Bar Soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
What's up? I'm John Wall.
And I'm CJ Toledano, and we're starting a new podcast presented by DraftKings called Point Game. We're now joined by three-time NBA Sixth Man of the Year, elite bucket getter. Let's please welcome Jamal Crawford to Point Game. King of the Court one-on-one tournament. If they had it back in your prime, do you think he could have took it all?
I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think I could have took it all, but I think I would have shocked a lot of people. I think Kobe and everybody in their prime, Kobe would win a one-on-one contest.
Because you got to think, he's going to guard. He don't care about guarding.
He's going to guard.
He's going to guard. Like, you see him in the Olympics, he's going to guard. And then on top of that.
I'm not guarding like that, CJ.
Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome Sam Cassell to Point Game.
I remember you came to my room crying tears. I mean, he was in a culture shock. He's going to withdraw us about winning.
Remember what I told you? I said, OG, you think I can get paid and go back and play in college because it ain't it?
Check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, DraftKings YouTube, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're a growing business, which means you need every spare hour you can find. That's why the most successful growing businesses are working together in Slack. Slack is where work happens, with all your people, data, and information in one AI-powered place. Start a call instantly in huddles and ditch cumbersome calendar invites. Or build an automation with Workflow Builder to take routine tasks off your plate. No coding required. Grow your business in Slack. Visit slack.com to get started.
All right. Thank you to Jane Slater. Let's now turn our attention to week 14, and to do that, we bring in
our girl,
Mrs. Jonas. Ah, there she is, Priyanka Chopra Jonas. Get that hyphen in there. Ricky, we got hyphen there?
Yep, it is a double last name situation.
Little double last name sitch in a big spot. And I hope that marriage stands the test of time. Now, the Pittsburgh Steelers and Minnesota Vikings. Whoa.
It's kind of perfect.
Yeah, Mark thought this game wasn't going to mean anything for one of the teams, and then the Steelers went and revitalized their season with a stunning comeback against the Ravens. So they enter this game 6-5-1. They are in the thick of it in the AFC wild card race, and then you have the Vikings. The Vikings, who 3 weeks ago beat the Packers, and then lost back-to-back games at San Francisco, and then almost impossibly, but possible at the same time, if you knew this team, to the Lions. So now they are in essentially a must-win situation for the Vikings. And I would say, Mark, that the Vikings in a must-win situation, given their talent and what they've shown at times this season, makes me feel confident that they're going to perform well on Thursday night. But this is also now a different Vikings team than the one, for instance, that I looked at a couple weeks ago and saw a high ceiling. There is no Dalvin Cook. It's very unlikely that you have Adam Thielen, who suffered a high ankle sprain. So on a short week, I don't think he's coming back from that. So now you have an offense that's been compromised and a team in general that has to be a little traumatized after what's happened to them in recent weeks.
Well, they were, you know, toying with the darkest reality scenarios and the losing to the Lions, which I think our show fairly called that as a realistic scenario, with the way they've been. It happened. It's now you got to deal with it. I like that they get Patrick Peterson back. I think it's going to be interesting to see what happens to Justin Jefferson in this game with Thielen out. I guess if you're Pittsburgh, you're thinking we try to do our best to remove him. Good luck with that. He has 9 more 20-yard catches since 2020 than any other human being on the earth. But if you're Pittsburgh, the one thing I kind of want to see, I thought at the end of the Ravens game, They kind of just said, this offense that we've been, let's just kind of give it to Big Ben, open it up a little bit, try to have him make some throws. And it just seemed you got the more comfortable version of Big Ben there. And he looked better to me than he had in other games. Is there any sustainability to that against this Vikings defense? Is there any identity shift that they want to cling to down the stretch? Because their offense has been mostly unwatchable, but that became the opposite a little bit against the Ravens, who were really banged up in the secondary,
right, they,
obviously.
But so are the Vikings are not, rather. Patrick Peterson is returning. That's been the strength of their team, is pass rush, pass defense. It sounds like Anthony Barr will be back. Eric Kendricks might be back. Like, those three guys being out for Minnesota was huge. And I think the biggest injury for Minnesota in that Detroit game was they didn't have their left tackle, Christian Darrisaw. And so they did the thing where they shuffled three different guys.
Yeah, that was...
And it didn't seem like it worked. And now you got to go up against T.J. Watt, who is coming off a 3.5 sack game where he was so disciplined with those rush lanes, where I think he put himself in front for Defensive Player of the Year. I give him a little bit of an edge for career achievement, too, because the last 3 years, to me, he's been the best edge rusher in the NFL. And the Steelers go as he goes. I pointed out 2 weeks ago he was coming off an injury and he had his worst game of the season against the Chargers. He was back and in a big way, and he's going to get after Kirk Cousins. I think they'll be plenty of points in this game. I really do.
And it's funny because I wrote about it in the Power Rankings yesterday, and then Big Ben came out today and said, this guy needs T.J. Watt to be an MVP candidate. We need to start looking at him in that way. And it actually, not to give Ben too much credit, but it makes sense that this would be a year where a defensive player could get in the mix. It hasn't happened in 35 years since LT in 86. But I think Watt, especially, he's 16 sacks. He is he needs to get to 22.5 to break that Fugazi Strahan record. And when you think about the non-quarterbacks in the sport, is there anyone that's as important to their team, who's as valuable to their team as T.J. Watt is to Pittsburgh?
No, because I would say that a couple weeks ago, the sack leader was Myles Garrett. And I think Myles Garrett is a star player. But T.J. Watt is talked about the way that you talked about J.J. Watt and Lawrence Taylor back in the day, because he's that focal, central to the right. Greg, I'm with you that where he goes, they go.
Right, and he makes such a difference in every play, and that's going to be a big mismatch up front. And yet, I don't know about the whole, like, Ben throwing the ball deep down the field is the new idea there. He did look better. I thought that was his best game. I agree with you, Mark. And it makes sense because Deontay Johnson and Chase Claypool are the best two players on their offense. So why not just keep throwing up to him when it's one-on-one? But Minnesota's had a way of doing pretty well against the pass this year. And the way they've been kind of weak is against the run. I want to see what Justin Jefferson does here in this big spotlight game. He is about to set the record for the most yards that any receivers had in NFL history through his first 2 years of the season. To me, he'd be right there behind Cooper Kupp right now as Offensive Player of the Year. I'd still have Kupp there for sure. And Joe Hayden has been out for Pittsburgh. And to me, that was the most surprising part of that game, was like Lamar and the Ravens could not make that count. They're playing guys that, like, Akilah Weatherspoon as a starter and stuff, that like the 49ers cut like a couple weeks ago, and they're just picking them up off the scrap heap. Like, you should be able to win some matchups on the outside if you're Minnesota. If Kirk Cousins is really a top 10 quarterback, which I have him this year, like, you should be able to make some hay here.
I think Jefferson is in that very elite club with Devontae Adams, maybe Cooper Kupp, where it really doesn't matter who's across from them on the field. They're going to get their make impact plays at some point.
Or if you're getting doubled or whatever, it's
right,
like,
he'll get his. So I think it's all setting up with, like, okay, it makes sense for this Pittsburgh team to continue their rise. But at the same time, this also makes sense in a season that hasn't made sense for the Vikings, for them to play really well here. I'm going to pick the Vikings because at 5-8, they're cooked. And I think they're going to find a way to win. It would make sense to me. Like, you, what was the game you looked at last week? I think it was Chargers-Bengals.
Yeah.
Like, oh, it makes more sense if both these teams are 7-5. It makes sense to me that after this Thursday, and this is real analytical, but it checks out, that the Vikings are 6-7 and the Steelers are 6-6-1. That makes more sense to me.
It's what I want.
I think that's what we're going to get.
It's what I want. It's what I'm rooting for. The Vikings are favored by 3, and yet the vibes – and I know we're, like, leaning on last week a little much, but the vibes in Minnesota. Like, it is on the precipice. The Vikings Twitter, I mean, that losing to the Lions is just like the worst thing that can happen to you. And it is a home game. I don't know if that makes me feel better. Like, if they're losing by 8 points here in the third or fourth quarter, like, Kirk Cousins getting a little tight and Mike Zimmer getting a little tight and the crowd being against them and, like, and there being, like, a firing after this game, like, feels like it's at least on the table. You could go, like,
no.
If you could give me 10-1 odds of that, like, I would take that.
You're also letting
if they lose by, like, 20 points in this game and Zimmer's not the coach next week.
It would have been a very rough 3 weeks for Zimmer.
I'm just saying that
these
feels
like
it's possible.
These are the people of Minnesota. These are nice Midwestern fans. They're going to cheer the hell out of this
Minnesota
team.
Nice.
I don't think they're going to start hissing. And I think it's going to be a home field advantage. I think that play is going to be rocking. I think it's one of the best home field advantages in the league.
I'm picking the Vikings.
And I could just see Ben really struggling on the road in this spot. I feel pretty good about it.
I'll go Vikings. 22,
yeah,
Steelers 19 in overtime.
They're done.
Right on the number.
And by the way, we are four games away from, and we thought this would be a mythical thing that would take years to happen, and maybe it will, but an 8-8-1 team. The Steelers are perfect to become that.
Makes a lot of sense.
I would enjoy to see that.
All right. Very good. That is Thursday Night Football. Mark and I will handle that recap together. Two-hander, as they call it. Industry talk.
They're back together.
Industry parlance. You know?
You know, we had to, you know, there were some things to negotiate, but we're good.
Right.
We're
it's back. Like Mike and the Mad Dog when it got to the point where...
Mad Dog wasn't invited to Francesca's wedding.
Right, and then the wives had to get involved and be like, no.
Is it? You're saying it is at that point?
Yeah,
that's alarming to me to discover.
That's how we were able to get together for Thursday. The wives got involved.
Well, it's news to me.
All right, there you go. That is Thursday Night Football. We'll be back on Thursday. How about that? With a full preview of Week 14. And then we will have the mini pod Thursday night if Mark and I are able to kind of work through our issues. And then I want everyone to
What did I miss?
Everyone to have a good time tonight at the holiday party. It's the big.
I think actually you're sensing that something will happen at the
holiday party
that puts us in this bad sitch.
You got it.
Okay.
You nailed it.
There's room for adventure when you present it.
And wouldn't that be good? Because just to add something exciting to life.
Yeah.
Like some type of huge dust up tonight at the holiday party.
That Greg secretly somehow lit the match on, and then
right,
you know.
Then it's the Around the NFL podcast with Greg Rosenthal, his lifelong goal.
This is always your take here. It says a lot. It says a lot about what's in your head.
Ricky. Let's keep this music playing. We'll play it out. It is the holiday season after all. We'll be back. Until then, this is Dan Hansa signing off for Quiet Storm, the old boss, Ricky Hollywood, Shane Slater, the whole gang. Till Thursday, heed the call.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.